The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
One of the big differences between the first term and the first term, everybody was fighting me. In this term, everybody wants to be my friend.
Look, there's no question Donald Trump goes into office the second time in a much stronger position than he did the first time. I mean, it's easy to forget that the leaders of the Republican Party in Congress when he first entered were Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, both of whom were skeptical of him. The Supreme Court that was much more narrowly divided, a business community that was much more leery about being associated with him. In all those ways, his position is obviously much stronger, and to some extent rooted in the fact that this time he did win the popular vote.
The four-year gap eliminated a sophomore slump and made him stronger.
Every single criticism they give to policies that's about pro-family, pro-security, pro-protection of the border, pro-go build your own business as big as you want to do it, pro-having kids, pro-choosing to do something big with your life, all of those arguments are making a comeback in ways we've never seen before that's converting Democrats like Elon Musk, that's converting people like Joe Rogan, that's converting people like Tulsi, like Bobby, like a bunch of other people. This is going to be a very interesting potential for, I believe, a 12-year run.
Donald Trump's popularity is at a 7-year high. He knows it, and so does everyone else. This is the difference between a shocking victory in 2016 and a commanding victory in 2024.
As I was doing a little exercise, and I just told my wife, I said, this is just, I mean, we know, we've been talking about it. We've been telling you about the trumpet, tomorrow's news today. But still, it's astounding to watch this happen. The Trump effect, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel, Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you'd like to email the show, TD@TheTrumpet.com. We'd love to hear from you. Just heard from Lee Smith yesterday, by the way. He's very thankful for the opportunity. Just a week ago, tomorrow, I guess, when he was on this show, we had all these extra segments. He did the conversation with me and Joel Hilliker. We had an assembly for the students, a very packed day last Wednesday, and he just wanted to follow up and email and say how much he appreciated being here in Edmond, Oklahoma. So much to get to on today's show. I mean, the world, I mean, these earth-shaking events. Every day, it seems, the government in Canada is collapsing before our eyes. We have already told you about Germany, about France. You know about the turmoil in the Middle East. The Obama doctrine in the Middle East has just come crashing down. And Donald Trump, he's poised. He's ready. He sends out one tweet on Truth Social. And you feel the reverberations all over the world. You have Justin Trudeau making his pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago. Now he loses his finance minister. He's in trouble. He probably won't step down. He's a good communist. They'll do anything that they can to hold on to power. But how did all of this happen so fast? Looking at what's happening here in the United States, just to carry on a little bit further with Jesse Waters last evening, clip one.
The CEO of TikTok also stopped by Mar-a-Lago today. And over the weekend, Apple CEO Tim Cook popped in for dinner.
How was your meeting with Apple CEO Tim Cook?
I did have dinner with Tim Cook. I had dinner with sort of almost all of them, and the rest are coming. And this is one of the big differences, I think, between, we were talking about it before, one of the big differences between the first term In the first term, everybody was fighting me. In this term, everybody wants to be my friend. I don't know. My personality changed or something.
His personality changed. The Christie, I forget her last name. She's the finance minister in Canada. She steps down, and then Trump just roasts her on Truth Social this morning. I think the personality is about the same, but there is a different vibe this time around, as people all over the world are bracing themselves for the return of Donald Trump. I mean, you've got people in Canada writing about him like, you know, I hate him. He's Hitler. He's this. But you got to give him credit. That man knows a thing or two about power politics, about using his influence, about standing firm and going forward with some courage. As I say, it's astounding to watch this transpire. Jesse went on and talked about just all these world leaders calling to come to the inauguration, to come and, or guys like Tim Cook and the Facebook founder, all of them saying, hey, yeah, we'll give you $1 million toward your inauguration. $1 million? I mean, I know these guys are billionaires, but still, he's Hitler, remember? He's Adolf Hitler. And now the donations just come pouring in. Now ABC News says, no mas, no mas. We surrender. Here's your $15 million. George Stephanopoulos, well, he will apologize on air. How is this possible? What we're witnessing. I hope you step back and truly appreciate just how miraculous this is. God's hand, his fingerprints, they're everywhere. And that doesn't mean we should become complacent. That doesn't mean we should think we're out of the woods when we look around and see all these communist regimes collapsing. My father brings that out. This trumpet, by the way, this is the January 2025. You see Miracle Victory there on the cover. I mean, if you want to know what's to happen on the road ahead, make sure you request a free subscription. That's right. There's no cost, no obligation. You see the 800 number there. If you're not a Trumpet subscriber, you're missing out. I'll take you through one article in particular in a little bit. I see the clock. We're already moving pretty quickly with all that we have to get to today. Here's Jesse last night talking about the impact that this is happening, the Trump effect that it's happening, or that it's having, I should say, on world leaders. Clip two.
He's announcing nominations, hosting dinners, making calls after midnight. Well, Biden's been asleep since 7. World leaders have been burning up the phones for weeks trying to get tickets for the inaugural balls.
Which other world leaders have you invited to the inauguration?
The world leaders are calling me, and some
are they
really
coming?
Would like to meet. No, I mean, literally, they're calling me, and I'll be seeing some of them. I think it's rude not to. I mean, it's hard to say I'm not going to see you. And I've spoken to way over 100 where they call to congratulate on the not only the election, but the size of the election, the extent of the victory. And they were great. I mean, I spoke to over 100 countries. You wouldn't believe how many countries there are. And I'm trying the best I can to get back to everybody.
I love it. You wouldn't believe how many countries there are. My personality must have changed. He's got the world's attention. Jesse talked about the impact it's having on the Middle East as well. And again, keep in mind, he's not even in office yet. And Biden's off. He's disappeared. He's considering whether to give a pardon to Liz Cheney. Yeah, that's right. Criminal referral coming out of the House for Liz Cheney. That's their recommendation once Trump takes office. Some of these communists, these hardcore communists, they are running scared. They're running scared in the media, too. They saw what happened with ABC and Stephanopoulos. Stephanopoulos wasn't the only one to say that he's liable for rape. He was just one of many. That's the only one that Trump went after. And look at what happened. Here he is talking about the Middle East, the Trump effect, its impact. Clip three.
He just spoke to Netanyahu and has a warning for the whole Middle East. Listen.
We had a very good talk. We discussed what is going to happen, and I'll be very available on January 20th, and we'll see. I, as you know, I gave warning that if these hostages aren't back home by that date, all is going to break out.
Trump's dangling carrots and sticks to friends and foes. Tariffs, airstrikes, investment deals, lawsuits. While the man technically still president is sabotaging them.
We had, we ordered an additional 200 miles of wall. It's very expensive. And now it's about double the price of what it would have been 6 years ago. And the administration is trying to sell it for 5 cents on the dollar, knowing that we're getting ready to put it up. And what they're doing is really an act. It's almost a criminal act. They know we're going to use it. And if we don't have it, we're going to have to rebuild it. And it'll cost double what it cost years ago. And that's hundreds of millions of dollars. And that's really, that has nothing to do with a smooth transition. That has to do with people really trying to stop our nation.
He's completely right. That's Joe Obama kicking him on the way out, trying to keep him from building the wall. But the thing is, they're not going to be able to stop it, are they? It's Obama. And you can add to him his puppet, Joe Biden. They're being silenced. They're being handcuffed. They're going away. They're kicking and screaming here and there. But I'll get to the VDH column in a second. Obama's lost his mystique. It used to be that Obama was telling Justin Trudeau, hey, this is what you need to do. Here's how you handle Trump. And now Obama's gone and Trudeau is on the ropes. What a change. What a remarkable change this is. You heard from that last clip, you see that America was under attack. That's what this book is about. The book we've advertised more than any other. Prophetic insight straight from God on high. And now overnight, I mean, it almost reads like a history book because so much of it's been fulfilled. You still need it. Get this book and see just how accurate God's forecast has been over these past many years. Earth-shaking events. Listen to Donald Trump as he's asked about, well, you know, you're going to have these mass deportations, but how can you know that Venezuela or whatever country is going to receive them back? This is clip 11.
Starting on day one, we'll implement a rapid series of bold reforms to restore our nation to full prosperity. We're going to go full prosperity and to build the greatest economy the world has ever seen, just as we had just a short time ago. We had it in my term. We had the greatest economy that the world had seen. We were blowing away everybody. Our country was doubling up on China, doubling up on everybody, and everybody knows it. And then we had to slow it down with COVID, unfortunately, at the end. But even then, I gave it back with a substantial increase of the stock market, bigger than it was pre-COVID. So it was pretty amazing. Already, preparations are underway to slash massive numbers of job-killing regulations, eliminating 10 old regulations for every new one.
With in terms of your mass deportation plans, have you had any preliminary discussions with countries like Venezuela, from where the Tren de Aragua gang is now popping up?
They'll take them back.
They're going to take them back?
They're all taking them back, yep. And if they don't, they'll be met very harshly economically.
That's some bold, decisive action. He's not in power yet. They will take him back, or them back, I should say. If not, they're going to pay for it. The world is listening. You heard about, I've told you before, the tariffs, Mexico, Canada, and then the leaders in those respective nations responding instantly. Instantly. Venezuela, they're taking them back. Believe me. You see what's happening in Canada. I mean, the influence of Donald Trump, just in a matter of weeks, the Trump effect is having a more dramatic impact on Canadian politics just in the last couple weeks than anything has in 10 years. Just a couple weeks. He sends out one message. And now, I mean, knowing what's coming, here I see in my notes, Chrystia Freeland, that's her name, the finance minister. She says, that's it.
She's a radical left-wing communist Obama acolyte. And she has had enough of Trudeau. She can see what's coming. She wants out. And now Trudeau's on the ropes. What does it say in Hosea 5 and verse 11? It says that Ephraim would go the way of the commandment of Jeroboam. That's what we're seeing. You really could. I've spoken with some of our news gatherers in Canada not that long ago about just how deeply entrenched Trudeau is in the political system up there and how much they, like California and even the United States, rely on cheating to stay in power. And now, could it possibly be over? We'll see. The Trump effect. Wow. What an impact. What a difference. The tables have definitely turned. The Toronto Star, this is that article I mentioned. I must confess, my admiration for Donald Trump's political skills grows with each passing day. Don't confuse this with admiration for the man himself, his character, his policies. He's had 4 years to reveal himself as a vile manipulator, willing to indulge in racism, authoritarian, right, Hitler, Hitler, Hitler. But now the guy can't help but to say, I do admire his political skills. I mean, he uses his political tools. It says, but when it comes to exercise of raw political power, he's giving a master class in how to bend others to his will. With a single social media post, he has his country's two most important trading partners dancing for his pleasure, trying to figure out how to appease the monarch at Mar-a-Lago, the Winter White House. In Canada, this is all too obvious. Ever since he posted his threat to impose crippling 25% tariffs on imports from Canada and Mexico, politicians in this country have been scrambling in an effort to head that off. Trump comes along and he basically collapses Trudeau's cabinet, so many of Trudeau's precious narratives. And Trudeau, I mean, this time around, he can't go running to Obama. He can't go running to the dear leader. The dear leader's probably hanging up the phone on him. The dear leader's been silenced. Trudeau's on his own, and he's flailing away. Trying to hang on. Trying to survive. Trying to survive in Trump's world. Sundance said this. Last night, it says, those who followed the details of U.S.-Mexico and Canada trade agreement can easily see how Chrystia Freeland was never going to be the right person for Canada to have as finance minister while they attempt to navigate President Trump's economic policy again. It says, in fact, I would not be surprised if someone in Mar-a-Lago told Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau that he needed to ice her out if Trudeau wanted to stand a chance of a relationship with Donald Trump. It may be that she was pressured behind the scenes because she really had some crackpot ideas for sure. And Trump may have said, you look at his Truth Social post this morning. He says to her basically, goodbye, good riddance. As many people noted during her gleeful confiscation of funds from the trucker protests. It says here, Freeland is a conniving, scheming, and all-around nasty piece of work. Apparently, the Canadian trade team working toward Team America First just wasn't going to work again. Or, put more accurately, no one around Trump 47 has time for the childish nonsense that Freeland brings with her everywhere. Now, listen to this. Here's his conclusion. From France in the EU to Canada in North America, the professional leftist governments are collapsing at a rapid pace, perhaps even on Trumpian time. It says, and we're here to savor every moment. And that's what conservative media are doing here in the U.S. They are cheering this on. You heard the clip from Jesse yesterday. What a time to be alive, as if there's no existential threats or dangers in the world today. as if all of the resistance, and that's, again, you look at this issue of the Trumpet magazine, it may now not come from the communist left here in the U.S., but there is resistance forming in Europe against this man. That's why you need this magazine, so that you can know tomorrow's news today, so that you can get an accurate forecast. And that's what we've been giving you for years now. Well, for decades, if you go back to the ministry of Herbert Armstrong, even this church, we've been around for 35 years. 35 years. And we've been telling you, as I said last week, about the Psalm 83 Alliance and then the Daniel 11 Alliance and how that these two are going to be forming and they'll be in opposition to each other. Germany will get involved. It's happening. It's happening. Trump is causing a major world realignment. I got into this with you last week. But this is huge. This is significant. Here he is, causing a realignment in the Middle East. And now he's dragging, evidently, he's dragging Canada against its will to follow along after the commandment of Jeroboam. How about that? Who could have predicted this? Except for the great God above. The sure word of prophecy. Obviously, God has broken the power of the radical left. And now a lot of nations, they're coming to Mar-a-Lago to kiss Donald Trump's ring. I love the scene yesterday. I should have grabbed the clip. It was some billionaire who's got a billionaire business going. He was talking about investing $100 billion in the United States, and Trump was there beside him smiling. And then he said, how about if you invest $200 billion? And this Asian investor was just beaming ear to ear, going on about Donald Trump, the art of the deal. People are coming from all over the world. They want to be part of this movement. The Trump effect is having quite the effect on them. What a shakeup we're seeing everywhere you look. Canada, Mexico, Venezuela, Europe, the Middle East, Ukraine. All over the place. And then, as I said earlier, you've got the regime media here at home, here in the United States. I mean, they are running scared. Apoplectic over the deal struck between ABC and Donald Trump. And then Trump's at this press conference yesterday talking about all the others he's getting ready to sue. CBS for the 60 Minutes report on Kamala Harris, how they spliced together all these statements that she made because she gave an incoherent response. So dishonest. And Jake Tapper, I mean, his head's exploding because he's thinking, are we actually going to be held to account? Are our precious news organizations going to have to pay out because of lawfare that's now going obviously in the other direction? They don't like it, you see. When they have the tactics that they've been using to attack Adolf Hitler, suddenly reverse course and now they're going in the other direction? Well, you see their heads explode. This is a montage of all the talking heads talking about Donald Trump, the racist. Sorry, the rapist. Well, either one would apply, but the rapist. And then, of course, Stephanopoulos and ABC, they had to pay out huge. So they're going to go silent on rapist for a while, you can be sure. But listen to how many accused Donald Trump of this when it wasn't even what was found in court. And then hear how running scared they are today, clip 4.
Why do we have a significant swath of the country that is so ready to give the democracy away for a man who is a, you know, criminal, you know, has been civilly held liable for rape?
This man has been found liable for rape
and held liable for rape.
Liable for rape.
Liable for rape.
Liable for rape.
This is a man who is incapable of self-control and is capable of the kind of verbal diarrhea that we saw last night.
Trump is unfit for office. He tried to overturn an election. That alone is disqualifying. And not to mention the fact that a court held him liable for rape.
Liable.
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 Liable for rape.
This weekend, ABC News
agreed to pay $16 million, including legal fees, to settle a defamation lawsuit brought by Trump against the network and their anchor, George Stephanopoulos. And that obviously will not be the end of this campaign against the media.
They'll be bringing one against the people in Iowa, their newspaper. We're filing one on 60 Minutes. We're involved in one which has been going on for a while and very successfully against Bob Woodward. We have one, very interestingly, on Pulitzer, because reporters at the New York Times, Washington Post got Pulitzer Prizes for their wonderful, accurate, and highly professional reporting on the Russia hoax.
This is wildly ridiculous.
We are in a climate where more of this kind of litigation is expected.
By having a settlement with ABC, one that many people did not think was going to come to fruition, a situation which has empowered and emboldened Donald.
It's not about the money for Trump. He's not doing that. You know what he probably really wanted to get to, and what ABC didn't want him to see, and what he didn't want the public to see, that was the discovery side of it, where maybe there were emails internally talking about this and saying, we're going to say this, we're going to say that.
This is classic 101 Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, is he trying to intimidate the media with this strategy?
I think he is well within bounds to play the game that he thinks they're playing against him, which is to lie about him, to, you know, try to shape the narrative around him in ways that he doesn't believe are accurate. My belief is, why can't people just be precise? So look what happened to ABC. They were not precise in what they said. And you can't be so flip with this kind of serious information when we're talking about, you know, the public affairs of our country.
I mean, to me, it seems this is a time for our industry to stand firm. And we're going to have a very important job to do. And that's not putting us on a pedestal or anything like that, but we're going to have a very important job to do, because Trump is not going to change his ways when he gets back in the Oval Office. He's going to continue to say things that need to be fact-checked. And you can't have the news industry worrying about this sort of stuff when they're just simply doing their jobs.
You can't have the news industry worried about being fact-checked. What a statement, the hubris of these people. You heard the guy in the middle of that montage saying that really what ABC feared was the discovery in this defamation suit, the depositions. Stephanopoulos was a day away from being deposed. He was going to have to testify under oath. And ABC is going to have to turn over all of this internal discussion about Trump, the interview with Nancy Mace, the fact that he's a rapist. ABC feared being exposed, so they were willing to pay out $16 million. And now you see the rest of them. And there's quite a few that jumped on the liable for rape bandwagon. And now they're worried. Now they know. The Trump effect. You saw it there in the last part of that montage. Still, you're going to get a lot of delusion from these people. But they have been, they have been restrained. They haven't been completely silenced. They're not going to be silenced like Barack Obama. But they are singing a little bit of a different tune. This is the one where I'm exercising last night. I laugh out loud in the middle of my house. It's very quiet in the house, and I don't usually do this. This was the fake president. I believe this was yesterday. It was on the Jesse Waters opening. This is what he said about his administration. Clip 12.
We run a campaign that's basically scandal free. It's hard to do in American politics these days.
Scandal-free. He just gave a pardon, an 11-year, wasn't it? 11-year pardon to his son. All of the crack, the prostitutes, the pay-to-play, the wire transfers to everyone in the Biden family. I mean, that's just one example. The Afghanistan withdrawal, the wide-open border, the 12 million illegals. That's a low estimate, by the way. And now here he is trying to sell off the materials for building more of the wall? 5 cents on the dollar, says Trump. This is the most scandal-ridden administration in U.S. history. And of course, Barack Obama is a big part of it. You can't just dismiss his involvement. He's the real, this is his third term. And they're being exposed, these people. This is from the New York Times. Recent immigration surge has been the largest in U.S. history. That's the New York Times. They want this. And here they're selling off wall materials so that Trump can't get to them. That's how much they hate the country. That's how much they hate and despise you, the American voter. The immigration surge of the past few years has been the largest in U.S. history, surpassing the great immigration boom of the late 1800s. Where was this reporting 2 years ago when they were saying, yeah, Mayorkas, it's totally secure. Everything's good. It's never been more secure. Now you get some truthfulness in reporting. Finally, annual net migration, the number of people coming to the country minus the number leaving, averaged 2.4 million people from 2021 to 2023. This is what you call a fundamental transformation. This, all of it, orchestrated by Barack Obama. He had more freedom to impose his radical left-wing ideology down the throats of Americans these past 4 years because he could hide in the shadows. And Biden could take the fall. But then you listen to Biden. How delusional do you have to be to stand up and say, it's been scandal-free? No, don't think so. Biden races to sell off border wall parts before Trump takes office. This is what Trump was talking about in that clip. The Biden administration is using its final weeks to haul a massive amount of border wall materials away from the southern border to be sold off in a government auction, an apparent effort to hinder President-elect Donald Trump's effort to secure the border. They hate Americans. They want to destroy the country. They want to fundamentally transform it. And they very nearly did. But God intervened, didn't he? God prevented it from happening. He's giving us one last chance to turn to him in repentance for our sickness, head to toe. He's not going to pass by again, as that prophecy in Amos 7 brings out. All of it's discussed in America Under Attack. Again, make sure, if you don't have that book, make sure you order a copy today and brush up on these incredible prophecies, so many of them being fulfilled. Yet another story, again, more come, as I said yesterday, more just keeps coming in about just how bitter the affliction was. Biden Education Department spent over $1 billion on DEI grants, says this report. Diversity, equity, inclusion, $1 billion provided by you, the taxpayer, for all these DEI grants. God intervened. He looked at the bitter affliction, as 2 Kings 14 says, and it says that he intervened to save Israel by the hand of Jeroboam. And along the way, as we've been saying since earlier this year, he also was going to silence Barack Obama. Well, we said it even before this year because it's discussed in AUA. The fact that he goes missing halfway through that Amos 7 prophecy. Obama being silenced. This is Victor Davis Hanson. The evaporation of the Obama mystique. This is a longer article. I wanted to try to get through most of it. Maybe I can if I hurry. Barack Obama has long been rumored as the catalyst for the 2020 Biden nomination. It says, and thereafter played the whispering puppeteer behind the subsequent lost Biden administration years. Who's been telling you this for years and years and years? It says, as such, he and his coterie proved the virtual architects of the Biden administration, one of the most unpopular and failed presidencies in American history. Obama, though, was lurking behind the scenes. He was pulling the strings on the puppet. With all these disastrous policies, it says here, the Obamas ignored or withheld from the public their own firsthand knowledge that Biden was suffering from signs of dementia. He talks before this about how Obama intervened even in 2020 when Biden's campaign for president was flailing. Obama knew that, you know, an avowed socialist like Bernie Sanders couldn't make it. Buttigieg, you know, even Kamala. So he had all these people withdraw, and he said, I think Biden's the guy. I think he's the perfect puppet. And then they conceal the dementia. They tuck him into the basement. They unleash COVID, or at the very least, they took it as an opportunity to revamp the election system in the United States so that you could cheat. And, as Lee Smith pointed out, so that they could destroy the Trump economy. Bitter affliction. The Obamaites then got their wish for 4 years of enacted hard left directive, that's after the puppet was installed, that they could only have dreamed of while in actual power. It says, but their radical menu since 2021 had divided and nearly wrecked the nation. Hyperinflation, 12 million illegal aliens, a ruined border, spiraling crime, a shattered foreign policy of appeasement, the popular backlash against DEI, woke trans chauvinism, partisan lawfare, and weaponization of the government. And in response, going back to the election on November 5, you have Americans decide overwhelmingly, we want Trump, we want Republicans to control the House and also the Senate. There you go. Landslide victory. And now the Trump effect is in full force. And everyone can see it. It says the more Trump polled even with or ahead of Kamala Harris, the more an exasperated and ignored Obama talked down to supposedly low-information voters. You know the story. He was out there lecturing people. And people just said, hey, talk to the hand this time. I don't want to hear it. But by the time Harris lost the election, voters had tuned out a nagging and patronizing Obama and his stale, now dated, hope and changey boilerplate speeches. They don't want any more. Americans have rejected him. The communist regime has collapsed. Obama's been silenced. It says here, Barack Obama's bizarre vision of a new Middle East, this is further on, had sought to empower Iran as a supposed counterweight against moderate Arab nations and our ally Israel. It says years ago, Obama invited Russians into Syria, empowered dictatorial Syria, berated Israel nonstop, and all but ignored the terrorist violence of Iran's surrogate terrorists of Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Houthis. It says, but after October 7, Israel retaliated to the mass slaughter of Jewish civilians and all-out war against Hamas and Hezbollah, rendering these once-feared terrorists nearly impotent. Now listen to this. Again, you talk about a fundamental transformation in reverse. It says, Israel and the moderate Arab regimes are in ascendance as the entire crazy Obama envisioned Middle East agenda just melts away. It's gone. The Obama doctrine in the Middle East has melted away. The 2024 anemic Democratic campaign and the Trump Electoral College and popular vote victories, combined with record defections of Hispanic and African American voters from the Democratic Party to Trump, proved a resounding rejection of the Obama legacy and his surrogates' left-wing visions. It says here, Obama again harped that constituents did not know, this is after the embarrassing loss on November 5, constituents did not know what was good for them. And then the disappointed former community organizer suddenly disappeared, pondering to which of his own four mansions his private jet would fly him home to commiserate. That's Victor Davis Hanson saying that Obama has disappeared. Wow. Who could have imagined this back in 2009, 2013, 2016? I mean, in 2016 and 17, after he was done, he just moved right down the street, where he ran the shadow government. that attacked Donald Trump nonstop for 4 years. And now you have Trump yesterday saying, well, the difference between today and, you know, back in 2017 is back then everyone attacked me. Now it seems like they want to be my friend. They want to draw close to me. They want to donate to my inauguration. Or in the case of ABC, to the Trump Library after I'm done. $15 million. Investors coming in from around the world. How can we invest in the United States? I feel really good about the Trump economy. You can see, as we've said, why a lot of people in America will take this dramatic, earth-shaking change and, you know, and that it'll make them complacent. It'll make them think that all the problems are ended, that we have nothing to worry about on this road ahead. That's where, again, you need the trumpet so that you can know a little bit more about the road ahead. This issue, the miracle victory issue, the second one has to do with the economy. But the third one is, after Trump's victory, watch Germany. Watch Germany. Yes, the nation that had its government collapse the day after Donald Trump was elected as president for the third time. Yes, I said it. The third time, November 5th and November 6th, Germany's government collapses. My father refers to a recent New York Times headline that said, missing in Europe a strong leader for the new Trump era. They need a strong leader. They've been clamoring for a strong leader. And now Trump, the Trump effect, it's clearing the way for that strong leader to emerge. My father says here, I believe these recent events will lead to the installation of a strong leader soon. We really need to watch. I think this is about to fulfill a prophecy we have been discussing for nearly a century. I mean, he's taking it back to the 1930s with Herbert Armstrong's prophecies, or what he prophesied, based on Daniel 11, Daniel 8. Daniel 11, verse 1, says of this prophesied strong man, it says, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And so my father has said that, you know, he's probably not going to come in through a vote. It's going to be through other means. And as my father brings out in that Trumpet article, you know, we saw it. We saw how it works in so many ways with Kamala. Nobody voted her in as the nominee. That was just the dear leader. That was just all the back channel discussions behind closed doors. Okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to put Kamala out front. We know the regime media will work in our favor, and they'll say, this is Obama 2008. It's incredible how electric this all is. She's so popular. They tried that. Didn't work so well. In this case, it will work. He comes in peaceably through flatteries, and Germany and Europe, they're going to receive him with open arms. They need it. They need it because of the Trump effect. They need the strong man. My father says in that January 2025 article, he says it wasn't just the radical left, but Satan the devil who received a major defeat on November 5th. Satan was on course to blot out America. But you see, God intervened and prevented that from happening. But that doesn't mean Satan's just going to go and retire somewhere. To the contrary, it says here, Barack Obama filled. Listen to this. This is incredible. Barack Obama filled a type of this role within, speaking of Antiochus, he fulfilled a type of this role within the United States in the pinnacle of his career. Obama was deadly successful in harming America, but the rise of Donald Trump means that God is silencing Obama. He says here, it would be interesting if this European strongman appeared on the scene right about the same time, one Antiochus being replaced by another. Satan's just going to transfer his attention and focus over to Europe. and see how he can bring down the nations of Israel through a strong man there. He had a strong man in place here in the United States since 2008. The whole world. You talk about the Obama effect. They worshiped him. They swooned before him. Now there's a very different vibe in the United States. But just know that behind the scenes, Satan is hard at work to carry out his plan of destruction and desolation. Oh, yes. So, as my father says in this article, we don't want to look at the Trump resurgence as the sign that, well, God is very well pleased with us now. He's pleased with America. No, God, in fact, is trying to get us to look at ourselves, to look at our sins. And that's what these earth-shaking, fulfilled prophecies should be doing. You know, motivating us to look at ourselves, to look within, to look at our hearts, to look at our attitudes, to consider our ways, and to turn to God. This is from the latest in Germany. This is CNN reporting yesterday, clip 10.
We are also, though, following breaking news out of Berlin at this hour, where German Chancellor Olaf Scholz has just lost a confidence vote, a vote, of course, that he called for. And that move now paves the way for elections in February. Totally unexpected outcome. But just walk us through what happens now, if you would.
The outcome of the votes, which is Scholz lost this vote of confidence in himself, right? The semantics around it are important, by 394 votes against him to 207 in favor of him. So that's a sizable number who have said that, look, this country needs to adopt a new chancellor and needs to embark on trying to form a new coalition government.
Well, it tells us that the German population is really unhappy with the blue establishment, and it's a story that we've seen really all across Europe in recent years and in the United States and other parts of the democratic world. In Germany, because of its history, this development is particularly alarming to many people. And if you look at what just happened to the Democrats, you can see that the economic issues in Germany are going to loom large in this election.
There's also the broader issue, right, as to how this fits into the overall puzzle of Europe. When we were talking about, of course, Europe's largest economy, normally incredibly stable, to be at this point, we see what's happening in France as well, moving into 2025. It's not just Germany, perhaps, that is looking at a period of instability and concern.
That's absolutely right. And Germany, of course, is known as the economic motor of Europe. And
there they are talking about what Herbert Armstrong spoke of in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, how that it would be an economic crisis that would trigger the formation of this final prophesied resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire, the seventh and final one spoken of in your Bible in multiple prophecies. The trigger, they see it. My father sent out a coworker letter just a couple weeks ago with the new booklet, America Under Attack, was prophesied. So there's a booklet now about this book. You need both. You've got America Under Attack and then the little booklet. Here it is, actually. It's on my table. America Under Attack was prophesied. And in that coworker letter that my father sent out with the new booklet, he said, on November 6th, the same day Trump was declared the winner of America's presidential election, Germany's coalition government collapsed. He says that's no coincidence. This collapse shocked Germany and Europe. Yet if everybody really understood Bible prophecy, it would be far more shocking. This is that dramatic. It's important that we wrap our minds around this. It's really dramatic. It's happening suddenly. The collapse of Germany's government will lead to revolutionary change for Germany, Europe, and the whole world. It says right now in America, people are focusing on the change in leadership, but God's people cannot lose sight of this pivotal Bible prophecy. A strong leader is about to come on the scene to lead Europe. This is something we've been talking about for years. Listen to this montage from my father. This goes back to 2009, so 15 years ago, and of course you can go back decades before that. It really was part of that signature prophecy that Herbert Armstrong proclaimed for decades back in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. The emergence of that seventh and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Here's my father from 2009 at the Key of David, clip 8.
But the European Union has become a superpower in Europe, but they are a superpower without a real strong leader. They're an empire without an emperor, and they're awaiting this strong leader, as it were, according to Daniel 8. They're going to get that strong leader, and everything is going to change. I mean, all of the world is going to be staggered by what they do. Now, that is a prophecy that's going to happen very soon. So you need to be aware of what your Bible says about this man. It's going to fulfill one of the most dramatic and specific prophecies in your Bible. Then it's going to be happening very, very soon. But here is a man that's about to come on the scene, and he's going to be more famous than Osama bin Laden or Ahmadinejad of Iran. A strong man is going to be brought on the scene in Europe. So says your Bible. In Daniel 11, there is an Antiochus talked about, and he is only a type of an end time Antiochus that's talked about in Daniel 11 and Daniel 8, where he rises up before the world and just astounds everybody because he has all this power that is even there today in Europe, just waiting for some ruler to take control of it. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now, he's not going to come in by, let's say, a democratic process. He's going to come in and use flatteries and sort of tweak the democratic process, it says here, something like that, and perhaps take advantage of a weak coalition, but he's going to come in by flatteries. Notice what Rawlinson, the historian, said. According to him, the Jews were driven to desperation by the mad project of this self-willed monarch. So we can kind of get a feeling of what this man is going to be like. He came in when he had few supporters, and he ended up with a lot of supporters, and it all happened because of deceit and lies, and it's only a type of what is coming soon on this world, and it's going to just utterly stupefy this world in many ways.
Notice how he said there that this strong man's going to come in and perhaps take advantage of a weak coalition, and that's exactly what we're seeing in Germany at the moment. This coworker letter, my father talks about how urgent the Germans and the Europeans are for this strong man to come on the scene, referring to the collapse of Olaf Scholz's government. It says, Germany has been bogged down with weak coalitions for years now. It's difficult to foresee how this would change in a February election. German politics are extremely volatile right now, with fringe parties gaining unprecedented support and the public showing extreme frustration with the status quo. You see, they're responding in many ways to the Trump effect, just like they are in Canada and in Mexico and in France and in the Middle East. This coworker letter, my father says, given Germany's history, how could the Germans allow a man to hijack them? Because they're desperate. They've had enough of weak leaders. They're clamoring for a strong leader who finally gets things done. That's why they will not resist when their leaders choose a strong man undemocratically. My father wrote that just a few weeks ago as he sent it out with his new booklet, America Under Attack Was Prophesied. You can call our 800 number and get a free copy of that booklet today. That's all we have time for on today's show. You know, this is the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again tomorrow.